You know, one of the best ways in the world that we encourage one another and edify one another is through song. We gather together each Lord's Day, and we sing a number of hymns together. In the Bible, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 says that we're to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And the verse in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says that we are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of excelling within the body of Christ. And the reason for that is because of Paul's words in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. You know, of all the great admonitions by the Apostle Paul, this probably has to be one of the most profound of all times. Paul says, "Seek that you might excel to the edifying of the church." You know, we all like to excel in what we do. I don't care whether you're talking about your studies. Young people want to make an A in school, by and large. Maybe they don't always do that. But they want to. Everybody wants to be the best. God doesn't say you have to be the best, but just do your best. But everybody wants to excel in whatever they are endeavoring to do. So rightfully, Paul would urge the church in this way too. He says, seek that you might excel, to go beyond. He says, to the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edification is an unusual word. We don't go around saying, today I was edified. We generally use the word encouraged. We're encouraging one another. But the word edify actually means to build up. It is closely akin to the word motivate. We motivate each other or stimulate one another. And so Paul says that we ought to make it our goal to be the very best at edifying one another, edifying the church of the living God. God will that churches work together. Those of us who are in the family of God here are to be given to edification. I know a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to even go about edifying the church. Well, let me share with you tonight what I really believe that you as an individual can do to edify this entire body of believers. There are five things that I really want you to know. I will tell you again that the word edify means to build up. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, right before that familiar verse found in 25 that says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There's that word exhort, closely akin to the word edify. But in verse 24, he says that we are to motivate one another to good works, and we are. God does not like for those of us who are Christians to go it alone in life. That's why we need the church. The church was not an afterthought with God. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul just simply says to edify one another. Edify one another. We ought to do our very best at trying to keep the saved saved. Now, we ought to certainly be on a mission and embark upon that mission to save the lost, to seek them out, and to bring them to Christ. But we're also to endeavor to keep the saved saved. If you were to stop and think about it, much of the New Testament is written not to the lost, but to the saved. You can read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read all that information about the life of Christ, and that's wonderful and good, and we read His commandments there, and we read about the establishment of the church in the book of Acts and the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. But when you pick up with the book of Romans and you read all the way through the book of Revelation, you would find that there are 21 books that actually, or 22 that actually describe for us how to keep the saved saved. So let me share with you tonight briefly the things that I think that will help us to excel in areas where we ought to excel. I would say, first of all, number one, that we ought to excel personally. You know, sometimes we make statements like, well, you know, they're just not growing as an individual. They're not growing in Christ. You know, sometimes it's best for us to look inward and look at our own lives instead of trying to scrutinize the lives of other people. We have to look at our own lives, look into the mirror of God's Word, and ask ourselves the question, am I excelling in my personal life, in my relationship with God? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says that, Paul speaking, that for the edifying of the church, some he gave prophets, some he gave evangelists, some he gave pastors, some he gave teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, to bringing the saints to a mature level in Christ. Sometimes people never stop and think about the fact that one of the ways that we edify and build up one another is building up our own lives spiritually. Becoming a more spiritual person individually. Let me ask you tonight, are you more spiritual tonight than you ever have been? You should be. Every one of us ought to be more spiritually minded. Now, Paul wrote into the early church and said, I could not speak to you as spiritual, but I had to speak to you as carnal because you are so carnally minded. That is, you're living like the world. You're not living as a child of God. He challenged us even in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and also chapter 6 to go on to perfection. He said, for when the time you ought to be teachers of the Word of God, you still have need of someone to teach you the very elementary things of Christianity and a relationship that you ought to have with God. But how much stronger are you tonight as a Christian than you were even a year ago? It's hard for us to believe that the year 2013 is really coming to a close and is doing it very rapidly, isn't it? Here we are at December the 1st, in another month. This year will be history. But how much have you grown in your spiritual life in a very personal way? The way that we edify one another is when people see us growing spiritually ourselves. I know I'm edified and I'm encouraged when I look out and I see people that are Christians who really are growing in their life. And you can see that development. And you really can see it. But let me share with you another area where we ought to be excelling. Paul says, seek that you might excel to the edifying of the church. And I believe that all of us ought to be excelling in participation within the body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. We ought to be excelling in attending the assemblies of the church. When the church comes together and when we worship together, we ought to be excelling in areas of participation. That is, when we sing, we ought to be singing. Some people never move their lips. I've heard people justify their lack of singing by saying, well, you know, I just can't carry a tune in a bucket. You ever heard people say that? I don't know where that expression ever came from. Your dad, yeah. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, my problem is not carrying the tune in the bucket, my problem is unloading it. Well, and that may be true also, I don't know. But when we are here as a congregation, we are challenged to sing. That's what Ephesians 5:19 is about in Colossians chapter 3. And we know that the disciples sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. It's a big portion of our assembly, and you and I can do that, and we can be participants when we do it. When it comes to the work of the church, how often do we participate? We have opportunities of fellowship, and sometimes people choose not to be a part of it. How well do you participate? How much does the body mean to you? Do you participate in the work of the church? When we have work days, do you attend the work days at the church, or do you have something else you feel like you need to do that's more important? When we have opportunities of fellowship and spiritual renewal, do we take advantage of those opportunities, or we just blow them off and say, well, it's really not that important. I'll do it next time. How well do we participate? You know what? We judge each other. We look at each other with this thing of participation. I can almost tell you who's going to show up on Wednesday night because I know who's going to be here. I can tell you who's going to be here on Sunday night. I could go through the directory tonight. Dale and I have done this. We could go through the directory and tell who's going to be here for a work day. We don't have to guess at it. When we have fellowships and we have luncheons and when we have things of that nature that really broaden our fellowship experience, you know who's going to be there. We should excel. Not haphazardly, but excel in participation. When we have Monday night for the master and an opportunity for you to really work in the kingdom of God, and people say, well, they never give me anything to do. Well, you show up for Monday night for the master, and I can assure you we will give you something to do. We're not just having a busy night. That's not what it's all about. Busy work. But when people show up to really work and participate in the church, then you have opportunities to do that. We should be people, thirdly, who excel in patience. How patient are you? How many of you are patient tonight? One or two of you? How patient are you? We are to excel in patience, believe it or not. We often talk about the patience of Job and how patient Job was with all of his trials in life, and he was. But how impatient we are. We get behind someone at a light, and the light turns green. It's been red for a long time. Light turns green, a man doesn't go. What do? You sit patiently, or I know what you do. You blow your horn. You probably say a few things under your breath. We are an impatient people. We are. And in the body of Christ, there should be an excelling of patience among us. I don't know why people are so impatient, but we are. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. And you and I ought to be a people that manifests that patient attitude toward one another. Wives are impatient with their husbands. Husbands often get impatient with their wives. We get impatient with our children. We get impatient with one another in the church when perhaps maybe we think they perhaps are not carrying their load. We get impatient with each other. That's not the right spirit either, is it? We have to learn to be patient with one another. We have to accept the fact that we're all flawed and that we make mistakes. We all have difficulties. I heard about an old man one time who decided his wife was getting hard of hearing. How many of you have that problem? Anybody? So he called her doctor to make an appointment to have her hearing checked. The doctor said he could see her in about a couple of weeks. Well, meanwhile, there's a simple informal test the husband could do to give the doctor some idea of the dimensions of that particular problem that she was having. He said, here's what you do. He said, start about 40 feet away from her and speak in a normal conversational tone and see if she hears you. If that doesn't work, he said, go to 30 feet. If that doesn't work, go to 20 feet. And so on, he said, until you get a response. So that evening, his wife is in the kitchen cooking dinner. And he's out in the living room. And he says to himself, well, you know, I'm about 40 feet away. Let's see what happens. So he says to her, "Honey, what's for supper?" And there was no response. So he moves to the other end of the room, about 30 feet away, and he repeats again, "Honey, what's for supper?" So he moves to the dining room, about 20 feet away, and he asks again that same question, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And then he goes on to the kitchen door, which is only about 10 feet away. And he says, "Honey, what's for supper?" And there is still no response. So finally, he walks up right behind her and says, "Honey, what's for supper?" And she says, "For the fifth time, chicken." You see, sometimes we think the problem is with someone else, when in reality, the problem might be with us. We have to learn to be patient with each other. We do. With one another, according to Paul in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 2. We have to endeavor to be patient. Forbearing one with another, Paul uses that expression. And he says also that we are to be patient with weak brethren. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, and 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, that we are to be patient with weak brethren. No one likes to admit that they are weak. But we have to learn to be patient. So we excel in it. Seek that you might excel to the edifying of the church. You think when you're around people that are patient that it just might edify you? It does me. Because people have been patient with me time and time again. And I'm going to tell you something. It really encourages you that people just don't fly off the handle or get mad, but that they are patient. But then number four. We should be a people in the church that excel in peace. You know, one thing that becomes so descriptive of the early church is that the early church was a people that were at peace. Now, mind you, there were times when they had struggles and they had divisions, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But they were so busy working and participating and being patient with each other and laboring in the vineyard of God, that there was a peace that prevailed among them because they were all working toward that same goal and had that same initiative in mind. And you and I, when we talk about excelling in peace, the Bible says to be at peace with all men as much as in you is. We have to avoid unnecessary controversy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. Sometimes we go out of our way, sometimes to disrupt the peace of the body instead of trying to promote it. We have to be careful not to stir strife within the church. One of the things that God hates in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 is, are those who sow discord among the body of Christ, which is counter to the peace that God wants us to experience. Christ came to give peace not only to us in a very personal way in our lives, but he came to bring peace within the body as well. The Bible says how wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we have to refuse to accept a false peace. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 and following. But then last of all, we are to excel in purity. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Sometimes we would like to believe that everybody in the church and in the body of Christ live pure, holy, and godly lives. But that's not always the case. And there is nothing that does more damage to the body of Christ to the church than for people who claim to be part of that church, who live in the world around us, enmeshed in the world, living like the world. That's why Paul would write again to the brethren at Rome and say in the 12th chapter, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Don't live like the world. You may be in the world. God doesn't want you to get out of the world. He's not trying to take you out of an element that is evil and corrupt and ungodly, but He's trying to get us through pure lives to change others who live ungodly. That's what He's saying. In the book of John 17, in the prayer that Jesus prayed, He prayed that they may be one. He said, "Father, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that their influence upon the world would be such as to constrain other people to come into the kingdom of God." Sometimes sharp words might be needed to maintain purity. There were times when Paul did that, made enemies. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, "If I become the enemy, because I tell you the truth." Sharp actions sometimes are needed to maintain purity within the body. Galatians chapter 5. But if we're going to be the people that God really wants us to be, we're going to have to be a people that excel in this thing of edifying the church. Do you know the Bible says that we edify through prayer? Does it edify you, build you up? And that's what that word really means, to build up. Does it build you up when you hear people call your name in prayer? Does me. We are to sing, as I mentioned a moment ago, to edify one another. We do that. We do it through the preaching of the gospel. Paul writes to Timothy and he says to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering. That word exhortation, motivation. Provoking, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 24. He says, "Let all things be done unto edification." Sometimes it would do us well for every one of us to stop and just ask ourselves a question. Am I really edifying the church? Are my actions edifying the church? Are my words edifying the church? Sometimes it's hard for each of us to admit that perhaps maybe they are not. But when we feel that we have not measured up in God's eye, then it's time for folks to change. It's time for us to start doing better. Sometimes we get so caught up in the world around us that we stop to think about the church and how important it is for us to participate in the body and to be patient within the body and to pursue peace and to do what we can to promote the peace within the body and to live pure lives. But it's extremely important. For the future of the church is dependent upon edification. It is. Doing what we can to strengthen one another. And so I hope tonight as you leave this place, this week you will endeavor. And it's not just when we come together here on the Lord's Day or on a Wednesday night that I'm talking about this thing of edification. There are ways that we edify one another throughout the week. Give someone a call who might be a weak brother. If you get a call this week, maybe there's a reason for that. Don't get mad at the one who called you. Send a card to a weak brother or sister in Christ. Do something nice for someone who needs it. Who's a brother and sister in Christ in this body and in this family? Someone who is sick. go see them. If they don't have a communicable disease. But do something. Participate. That's what it's really all about, isn't it? And I'm thankful that God brings us into his kingdom. And that he didn't bring us into the kingdom just to sit on a bench. You know, sometimes I think about the church much like I do a football team. So, you know, you got a lot of folks sitting on a bench. But you got some folks that are out there on the field who are hitting it. And shouldn't we all be out on the field? If you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you haven't been, why not change that? Why not make a conscious decision tonight to get up from where you are and to say, you know what, I'm going to start doing better. I know I hadn't really been excelling to the edifying of the church, but I'm going to change that. I'm going to make sure from here on that it's going to be different for me. Now, what everybody else does is their business, but I'm telling you, folks, it's something we all ought to do. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you choose to obey the Lord and baptism and to become a child of God, I would challenge you, listen, this thing is not a game with God. When a person is baptized, he should experience a change that says, I'm going to start doing better. I want to live for God. I want to get self out of the way, become a Christian, and then really start edifying the body. Sam has selected our song of encouragement tonight. Should you be subject, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.